Our scripture for today comes from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. One of the things I like about the Gospels is that I can take the time to look at the very person of Jesus. And I can see what he does in the midst and in the presence of other folks. There's an awful lot going on in this passage. A lot more than we might notice at first. This passage is about allowing children room to come to God and about making sure that they have a place that they can come and that they can get to know Jesus. What a blessing that is. Just to come as they are, just to come with all of their excitement and energy. As I know many of you in here wish you had the energy of some of the smallest children. Amen. And then some of you are wise enough to know that if you had that energy, your body couldn't keep up with it. But how much you do just want that coming into Jesus' presence, and how many times in our lives do we want to just come? Just as children do, and just be loved on. You know one of the biggest problems with us doing that? We've convinced ourselves that we got to be busy. We've convinced ourselves that we got to be about things. Our children? No. They just love to come and sit in somebody's presence, don't they? Deanna and I are looking forward to this next weekend. Our children will come with our grandchildren. You see, we do our, for those of you that don't know, not that we're Canadians, but we do our Thanksgiving dinner on Canadian Thanksgiving so that our children can be with the other side of the family on Thanksgiving Day. So we do it in October, so looking forward to that and getting ready to that. Getting ready to see the grandchildren come and spend some time with them for a couple of days. You see, we view children completely different as they did in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, it was more like some of you might have heard in your youth. Children are to be seen and not heard. Children are to respect their elders. Children are to be quiet in the presence. Well, in Jesus' day, it even goes further than that. In Jesus' day, children often were kept away from teachers and rabbis. The teacher's busy. The rabbi's busy. Don't approach them. They've got important things to do. Don't approach them. And parents were bringing their children just to be blessed by Jesus. Just to place his hands upon them. I remember when I was in Kenya and we went to a school for the Maasai children. And all the children wanted was to be blessed by us. They would come and stand in front of you, and they would bow their head just a little bit, waiting for you to reach out and put your hand on the top of their head. And that's all they wanted. They didn't want anything more from us. They wanted us to pass on to them a blessing by touching them. And you could see that it overwhelmed them when you did. They were so excited by that. And people are bringing children to Jesus so that he can do the same. And the disciples say, what? He's an important man. Back up. He's got important things to do. Back up. Don't interrupt the teacher. Don't interrupt the rabbi. Back up. And Jesus rebukes them. One of the times in Scripture where it says, listen to these words, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Now, sometimes we may not think of Jesus acting that way, do we? But it says here that he was indignant. He did not like what they were doing. He said, don't hinder them. Let them come to me. Let them be present. Let them receive a blessing. Oftentimes, the scripture is used to talk about how churches need to have tons of children's programs and bringing children into the midst of the church and making sure that we teach them in the way that they should go so that they might, when they grow up, not wander from it. I want to let you know, though, this passage does talk about that. But there's something a little bit deeper here that when we just center on that, we look over it. When we just center upon we've got to have this and that and the other in the midst of a church in order to be successful and to be what God wants us to be, we miss what's really been going on here the whole time. You see, there's a deeper meaning for the disciples that are there. We must accept our place in the kingdom of God as given to us. You see, the children weren't coming looking for any special favors, looking for any special things, looking for any place in the midst of the kingdom of God. They just wanted to be in Jesus' presence. That's all. And to receive the incredible blessings that God was passing on. I want you to think about it. Have you accepted your place in the kingdom of God as it's given to you? The children weren't asking for anything special or say, give me this or give me that. They just wanted to be present. Are you accepting where God is asking you to be in the midst of the kingdom of God? Yes, I'll admit, maybe it's not a place you want to be. As a minister for the past 25 years, I have walked in places that I wasn't sure I wanted to be. I have done things that I never expected to do. I have been with people in the most hurt that I have ever possibly seen. I've been with people that I don't know whether they are aware they're even going to have a next moment or not. I've been in situations where I found out later that I put myself in so much danger that if I had thought a little bit about it, I might not have been there. But I will tell you this, I know that God asked me to step there. I've walked with families through very dark valleys. I've been there in the midst of incredible blessings, excitement, joy. The blessings of living where God has asked me to live are beyond words. I can't explain it all to you. Have you accepted your place in the kingdom of God, where God's asking you to be? I find a lot of people don't. Because either they don't like the place that God's asking them to be, or they've already got designed in their mind the plans for where God should use them. And when they do, they miss what God has for them. Now, why do I bring all this up? This passage in context, if you go back and look at what happened in chapter 9, prior to this passage, the disciples have been arguing about who is greater and judging their standing by personal abilities. Can you think about that? These 12 men have been fighting with one another. Jesus has been present, and Jesus has been aware of what they're doing. I remember seeing something one time, and I find such a laugh out of this. It was a movie about the last night when Jesus was sharing the meal. And Peter and John were off discussing with one another about what they should be doing and what should be going on and what should be happening and who should get the favored spot, even still then. And John was talking, and John said, "Well, he asked me to get things together for the meal and to get things set straight." And Peter looked at him in the midst of this movie and said, "But you've never walked on water." In a sense, Peter was saying, "Look at how great I am. I've walked on water." And yes, he did. That's what the scriptures say. He did for a while until he paid attention to what was going on. And then he needed help. But you see, the disciples have been fighting about, and not only have the disciples participated in this, but a mother has come and told Jesus, "Will you put my two sons on your right and on your left?" Even a mother has come and said, "Look at how great my sons are, and they should receive the honored positions in the kingdom." All mothers think well of their children, don't they? That their children should receive the honored place always. But you see, the disciples have been arguing about this. Who's greater? "Oh, I'm greater. I walked on water. I'm greater. Jesus asked me to set this up. I'm greater because I carry the money bag. I'm greater because I was there when he was transformed. I'm greater." And you know what? In the midst of our society, we fall into the same thing, don't we? Amen. I am greater than that other person. I have more privileges and honors and benefits than that other person. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have gathered in. I'm greater. It happens in the midst of the church, in case you think it only happens in business and politics. It happens in the midst of the church, too. "Well, I should receive the honored position in the church, and I should serve on that team or that committee, because look at how good I would be in that place." You see, Jesus uses these children coming to teach the disciples something. The children come and they accept whatever place they get. And Jesus looks at the disciples and says, "Are you doing the same?" He says, "Truly I tell you," verse 15, "anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Never. We have to learn to accept the place that God wants us to be in the kingdom, where God wants us to be about. It's not about how great we were before we came to Jesus. It's not about all the great things we've done or all the material possessions that we've piled up. It's not about how hard we can work. It's not about, see how much better I am than that person. You see, that's the trap our society is in right now. I am so much better because I believe the right thing and you believe the wrong thing. And I look better the more I can point out how bad you are. No. It doesn't work that way, does it? Why does somebody else have to look worse in order for me to look better? And that's the trap our society is in. And Jesus says you just need to come as a child. And you just need to accept where I ask you to be, what I ask you to do, what I want you to be about. This passage is about children, but Jesus is using the children to teach the disciples who have been arguing about who's greater, based on their abilities, on their skills, on their talents. He says, "Can you come like a little child and just accept and just let me love on you?" I have become greatly aware how hard it is for people to just allow God to love on them. They want to be able to do one more thing so that God could approve of them. They want to get one more thing done so that God will be happy with me. What did I tell you last week? You can't change God's love for you. No matter what you do, you can't make God step back and go, "I don't love you anymore." You can't change that. No matter whether you live a good life or whether you live a bad life, God still loves you with an incredible, awesome love that will never end. So why do we run around doing things to try to get God to love us more? Why can't we just sit down and sit still for a moment and let God love on us? I still can hear God sometimes saying to me, "Will you stop running around? Just sit still and let me love on you. Just for a few minutes, at least. Let me bless you beyond belief." I mean, think about the children around Jesus. And think about their excitement for being right there. You ever seen children be excited? And their incredible excitement for being just right there and right present. Everything doesn't have to be in order, and everything doesn't have to be right sometimes, does it? It doesn't matter whether all the trash cans are emptied in the house, or the floor's been swept, or the rug's been vacuumed. Kids get excited about just being present, don't they? How come we can't do the same thing? How come we can't help other people do the same thing? Instead of arguing about who's greater, or instead of being a country that has become so divided on almost every issue, and people that show almost no respect for people on the other side of the coin. Can we just come and let God love on us? You see, it's with a simple faith of excitement we should accept the place God allows us to have within the kingdom and live into it. A simple faith of excitement. Do you know how to be excited? Guess not. I don't hear anything. I mean, shouldn't we be excited? We have been saved from hell and eternal damnation by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Isn't that something to be excited about? Shouldn't it be exciting that God just says, just sit still for a minute so I can love on you? Just sit still. Let me love on you. Let me show you where your place in the kingdom of God is so that you can live into it and experience incredible blessings. That's the thing that I try to keep showing people. God asked me very clearly to go into the ministry. I have no doubts about that. I know on October the 13th, a Friday, in 1995, that God said very clearly to me, I call you out to be a minister in my kingdom. That was after 3 years of me telling God, no, you don't. That's not my place in the kingdom. For 3 years, I told God, that's not the place I need to be. God, I'm doing what I need to do in your kingdom. I'm participating in a church. I'm teaching a Sunday school. I'm a deacon. This is where I need to be. And look at what's happening amidst the people that I'm ministering to there. That's not it. And I told God that for 3 years. And I want to tell you very clearly, I missed a lot of blessings. Because I wasn't willing to accept the place that God wanted me to be. And that's why I tell you over and over again, I don't want you to miss your calling. I don't want you to miss where God's asking you to take part in the kingdom of God. So that you can have that excitement and that joy. I told you there's been difficult times in my ministry. There's been tough times in ministering to people, being with people and walking with them through incredibly dark places. Walking in places I didn't want to. But you know what? In every one of those situations, there was a blessing beyond belief. I can't even explain it to you. I think about my plumber friend. I will always be thankful for him. Always. What an incredible man. He didn't have the best of life his whole life. He messed up and he'd tell you so. But when he came to God, he decided that he was going to follow God with everything he's got. And he got liver cancer. And I said, God, how can this happen? And I went to him and I said, Danny, I don't know where you're going to walk. And I don't know what this is going to be like for you. But if you'll let me, I promise you, as your pastor, I'll walk with you. And we'll find out together. I can't tell you the number of times that my plumber friend was my pastor. I can't tell you the number of times that I went over to visit with him and he looked at me and he said, okay, you said you'd never been this way before. Let me tell you what's going on. So that when you meet somebody else that has problems with liver cancer or any other kind of cancer, you can tell them what happens. He opened a new world of blessing to me. I'd come and he'd be hurting in great pain. I said, what can I do for you? He said, nothing. Just being here is enough. And then he said this. He said, if I die today, I win. And if I live today, I win. He says, it's a win-win situation today, even though I got cancer. He taught me in some ways that it's okay to slow down and just let God love on you. He shared over and over again all the incredible blessings he received as he walked with God, even though he was sick with cancer that took him out of this world. You see, Danny found his place. And he lived in his place. And he shared with people from where he hurt. And he just let God love on him. I can't remember his number right now. I think he told me, he says, he was a big dude, much bigger than me. And he had a mustache that wouldn't quit. I'll tell you that right now. He had a mustache that came down to about here. And he told me, he said, you know, he never let me leave without hugging me. And he said, everybody needs at least 8 hugs a day. Danny knew his place. And he blessed an incredible number of people by living it with excitement. Incredible excitement. I'll just tell you one other story about Danny that it made me laugh so much that day. We had another very, very close friend that was in the hospital and very desperately ill. And she was in a lot of pain. And at that point in time, Danny was in pain all the time. And they had given him one of these machines that he could press the button when he needed more painkiller. And he carried it around with him, and it didn't faze him in the least bit. The lady was laying in bed, and they came and gave her some painkiller. And Danny said, how much painkiller did she get? And they told him, well, she got this much. He pressed his button. He said, I got more. I'm ahead. He just found great joy in every moment and made every moment a moment of laughter. Even though he was in great pain, and he knew his place in the kingdom of God. Gosh, did he brighten people's day in such a way, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. I also admired him because he sang incredibly great. Wish I could sing like him. And there's a song that he sang that I remember all the time. Maybe we'll find it, Jerry, so that we can sing it. He was talking about being lost in the weeds like a ball. I've been lost like a ball in the high weeds was part of the song. Incredibly great song about God found me. And God's taking care of me. Do you know your place in the kingdom of God? Do you know where God's asking you to be? And are you striving for something different? Because if you are, you're going to miss blessings. I talk to you so much about calling and understanding your place in the kingdom of God because I don't want you to miss blessings. And when you miss those blessings, so do other people. You're not finding your place in the kingdom of God, and being where God's asking you to be also cuts other people out of their blessings. Think about that one. Jesus has got these little children around him. And he's saying, disciples, have you found your place? Are you living in your place? Are you letting God love on you so you can love other people? Are you living in your place in the kingdom of God? With excitement. Are you living in your place in the kingdom of God with excitement? If not, I hope you find your place. That's why I can always go back to that Friday the 13th. In that time of prayer that I took, where I said, God, I'm going to solve this issue and I'm going to solve it forever. And I sat down to read scripture like a good Baptist. You see, I was behind in my daily Bible reading program, trying to get through the Bible in the year, and I decided, well, I'm just going to sit down and read today before I really talk to God about what I need to talk to God about. My attempt at procrastination. And I read this passage about them picking the new first king of Israel. Samuel said, Saul, you're the one, but I want you to be there so that we can show the people by the hand of God that you're the one that's chosen. We'll go through the families and we'll cast lots and we'll go through the families and we'll finally get to you so that people will know that God has chosen you to be the king. They went to tribe, they went to clan, they went to family, they went through the family. Oh, God has chosen Saul. Guess what? Saul wasn't there. And all the people said, God, where is Saul? He's to be our king. And God said, he's hiding underneath the baggage. And as I read that passage, God said, how much longer are you going to hide? I'm calling you out. Got a place for you. How much longer are you going to hide? And I said, God, I won't leave this day without making a commitment to you. to live in the place in your kingdom you're asking me to live. I'm not saying your place is to go into vocational ministry. But God has a place for you in the kingdom. And God's asking you to live in that place. And not fight with other people about which is right and which is wrong and which is better and you're worse than me. And God said, I want you to live in my place with excitement so that you can experience the incredible blessings I have for you. I'll never be able to count all the blessings I've had in 25 years since that time I said to God, yes, I will. Are you living in your place in the kingdom of God with excitement? Are you living in your place in the kingdom of God with excitement? Only you can answer that question. But God knows whether you are or not. Let us pray. Lord, so often we see this passage and we think about what it means for always making sure that we're inviting children in. And it can be really easy for us to put this passage off on that thought. And not take in the whole context of what's going on here. And what the disciples needed to learn. And the commitment that they needed to make. They didn't want the children to bother the teacher because they felt they had a more important place. But sometimes they weren't willing to just let you love on them. Lord, show each and every one of us our place in the kingdom of God. And then give us the commitment to live that place with excitement. With excitement. So that as other people see us live in the kingdom of God, all of these society's issues would just fall to the wayside and people would come and say, that's what I want. I want to know that excitement in living in the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to decide what we need to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.